WJCT in Jacksonville. This is our weekly news magazine and the news podcast of the First Coast. I'm your host, Vince Kong, and this is Redux. It's Friday, February 3rd. Okay, let's make sure we got all this straight. There's the Shipyards Project, the District, the Metropolitan Park Project, the Daly's Place Amphitheater Project, and of course, the Laura Street Trio. In other words, there isn't a shortage of things to do when talking about revitalizing downtown Jacksonville, and we're going to bring it all to you. Plus, in honor of the Super Bowl, we'll have a story on the Jacksonville Jaguars, don't laugh, on this episode of Redux. But first...
This executive order... was mean-spirited and un-American.
I noticed Chuck Schumer yesterday with fake tears. I'm going to ask him who is his acting coach, because I know him very well. I don't see him as a crier. If he is, he's a different man. There's about a 5% chance that it was real, but I think there were fake tears.
That was President Donald Trump criticizing Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer, who is critical of Trump's order to temporarily ban travel from 7 Muslim-majority countries. Locally, hundreds of people protested in front of the Duval County Courthouse, chanting, "No human is illegal." WJCT's Lindsay Kilbride has the story.
Laura Heffernan is at the protest with her 3.5-year-old son. He's holding a sign that says, "Great-great-grandson of immigrants."
And then you have a photo on there.
Yes, those are my great-great-grandparents who came over from Ireland in the early part of the 20th century. Anytime the country allows fear and xenophobia to dominate, we all lose in the end.
Trump's order suspends new refugee admissions for 120 days, blocks travelers from 7 Muslim-majority countries for 90 days, and bans Syrian refugees indefinitely.
I can't imagine what they're going through.
A Syrian-American Muslim woman at the rally doesn't want to give her name. She says it's because so many of her family members are still in Syria, and her interview could put them in danger.
People could be targeted just for having the same last name as mine.
She's here partly because she's worried about Syrian refugees.
To deprive them from freedom, to deprive them to have a better life for themselves, that stands against what America is.
Nearby, a group of immigration lawyers are holding heart-shaped balloons that say refugees are welcome. They say they've been on calls and researching all weekend to figure out how the order could affect their clients. Erica Curran directs the Immigrant and Human Rights Clinic at Florida Coastal School of Law. It offers free legal representation to children seeking asylum and victims of violent crime. Curran describes the vetting process for immigrants and refugees as extreme.
Most of the clients that we serve talk about, you know, multiple interviews, years waiting to get into the United States. So it just doesn't seem like it's going to make anyone any safer.
Hell no, GOP!
A handful of counter-protesters held Donald Trump campaign signs across from the demonstration. Lindsay Kilbride, WJCT News.
Military equipment manufacturer Grace Aerospace is moving its headquarters to Jacksonville. That means the New York-based company's existing 5-person Jacksonville workforce is set to grow 6-fold. As WJCT's Ryan Bank reports, Grace was awarded local and state economic incentives to make the move.
Company President Stephen Carlo says the weather was just one of a few reasons his company decided to make the move south.
One of the things, it's 25 and snowing at home and 75 here, so it's sort of just a given. There's some real positives. The taxes don't hurt either, so I could go on at least that way.
Grace Aerospace, formerly known as Grace Electronics, began renting city space at Cecil Commerce Center a few years back. They started with 5 employees who did product testing. Now he's hiring 25 more, partly thanks to more than $330,000 in economic incentives.
We're going to have positions from beginning level tech through experienced techs. We're going to have business development, all kinds of administrative functions. So the salary range could be anywhere from, you know, $15 an hour to $60,000, $70,000 for the right positions.
The city is on the hook for $25,000 over the next 3 years, and the new Grace positions are required to have an average salary of just over $50,000. The majority of incentive money is coming from the state. Grace builds harnesses and electronics for military contractors, including Lockheed Martin and Northrop Grumman. Ryan Bank, WJCT News.
Now, Jacksonville's ambitious downtown revitalization project cleared a major hurdle earlier this week, paving the way for a hotel, apartments, retail space, offices, restaurants, and a rooftop bar. As WJCT's Lindsay Kilbride reports, the Downtown Investment Authority recommended nearly $10 million in city incentives for the development of four historic buildings.
The proposed restoration includes the Barnett Bank Building and the so-called Laura Street Trio at the corner of Forsyth and Laura Streets. The trio includes the Bisbee Building, the Florida Life Building, and the Marble Bank, all built in the early 1900s. Downtown Investment Authority CEO Andre Wallace says the city grants wouldn't be awarded until the projects are done.
Our funding, the public sector investment, only comes in once these particular projects receive a certificate of occupancy and the project is actually complete.
Since 2013, there's been talk of repurposing the empty buildings, but it hasn't happened. Now the Mulaski Group and Southeast Group development companies are partnering on the $79 million project. Mike Langton owns two downtown buildings and the Volstead Bar nearby. He says the vacant trio affects his business.
These black eyes, these buildings right across the street. I mean, they're just sit vacant with open windows or no windows, and it just creates an atmosphere almost that it's a dead zone. And so it's been a struggle to make my building work.
The city also plans to partner on building a 550-space parking garage on Forsyth to support the new development. The plan will go to the Mayor's Budget Review Committee next, then City Council for a final vote. Lindsay Kilbride, WJCT News.
But wait, the Laura Street Trio project is only one piece of the downtown revitalization puzzle. Andre Wallace also stopped by First Coast Connect earlier this week to lay out the Investment Authority's long-range plan, which includes the creation of an entertainment district near Everbank Field.
With the amphitheater and practice fields being under construction right now, and the amphitheater being concluded and being open in May, that is definitely going to be a destination opportunity for the actual whole sports entertainment complex area itself. Then couple that with the fact that we have an actual notice of disposition, or people can call it an RFP, that's on the street right now for 70 acres of waterfront property, which includes the 45 acres of shipyards as well as the 25 acres of property in and around Met Park. Those responses are due on March 8th. We're going to definitely know what those particular developers will be seeking and proposing to us, and understanding how that blends in with the actual work that's already going on. Right now we have Intuition, we've got Manifest Distillery, there's other plans for the Doro Fixtures building. The sports complex area is turning out to be a very good potential entertainment district for us here in Jacksonville.
You can hear the entire interview at wjctnews.org. You can also tune in to First Coast Connect with Melissa Ross each weekday morning at 9 a.m. on 89.9 FM or streaming on our WJCT app. Coming up. Jacksonville Jaguar fans surely know that crotchety voice anywhere, but for the uninitiated, that's the sound of success, and we'll bring it all to you in a little bit. But first, as Andre Wallace alluded to earlier, the Daly's Place Amphitheater is set to open next to Everbank Field in downtown this May. As WJCT's Ryan Bank reports, the new venue will soon host a lineup of rock acts including the Doobie Brothers and the Dave Matthews Band.
Outside the construction site that will eventually become the multi-million dollar amphitheater, the smooth sounds of the Doobie Brothers greet reporters and members of the public Friday. They're just one of a slew of acts set to take stage in Jacksonville over the summer. Bold Events President Mark Lamping says the concerts will provide a needed boost to downtown activity.
We want to do as much as we can to have more people work downtown, to have more people visit downtown, to have more people live downtown.
So far, Daly's Place has scheduled a cross-section of classic rock and 90s alternative bands, including the Dave Matthews Band, Chicago, Foreigner, and Third Eye Blind. Lamping says people can buy tickets to individual shows or reserve one seat to see them all.
We are selling a special ticket that if you buy in the Terrace Suite, you receive tickets to every Daly's Place show. You receive food and beverage for every Daly's Place show. And the average price on those will be $3,625.
Tickets for the first show, the Dave Matthews Band with the Silver Sun Pickups, are expected to go on sale February 10th. Ryan Bank, WJCT News.
So with all of these pieces starting to sort themselves out, one piece might serve as a catalyst to accelerate the area's renaissance. In this business brief, analyst John Burr tells WJCT News Director Jessica Palumbo, first off, why the return of the old Jacksonville Jaguar ball coach Tom Coughlin is a business story, and secondly, why this septuagenarian might hold the key to success for the future of the franchise and possibly the city.
John, how is this a business story?
Well, the Jaguars are Jacksonville's most recognizable business around the world. I mean, when you say Jacksonville, the next word is Jaguars. So that makes it a business story. Also, it's a story about leadership, what every business strives to obtain, which is great leadership. It's so hard to define it. It's so hard to categorize it. But man, when you see it, you recognize it and people react to it.
Did you see it on display at the press conference last week?
Yeah, there were a couple of points where Tom Coughlin's personality really came to the fore. And just as a spectator, I was kind of thrilled to see it. One of those points was when the new coach, Doug Marrone, he was asked if the team's going to focus on winning football games, which he began to answer in kind of a diplomatic fashion. But then Coughlin just cut right in. Let's listen to this.
Is that going to be the focus? What else is it? What the hell would you be doing this for? We're trying to win it. We're trying to win today. Who's going to get the better lunch? Let's not make any misunderstandings about why we're here.
There you have it. Simple, direct. Everybody can get it. Then there was a question about what would it take to win a Super Bowl? What do football coaches learn as they get more experience? Marrone gave his answer. And then Coughlin just teed off. Here's some of that.
And you start to snowball a little bit. And when that thing starts to go and people start believing in themselves, and when people come together from being a bunch of individuals to a team, a true team, in which they put everything else aside, all personal goals aside, for the good of the team, and they become one, then you've got an opportunity, and only then, to succeed.
Now, John, he's not the official coach.
No, he's not the official coach, but really, make no mistake, this is Tom Coughlin's team. You can see that in the deference that was shown to him by Kahn, Coach Marrone, and Doug Caldwell, the general manager, during the press conference. It bordered on complete and total reverence for this guy. So nothing succeeds like success, and Tom Coughlin came here in 95 as the first coach for the Jaguars. He took this ragtag group of players, he molded them into this surprise powerhouse team, took it to the doorstep of playing in the Super Bowl twice before being fired, and then he was hired by the New York Giants, who he won two Super Bowls with. So there's no questioning the guy's ability to lead a football team. And Shad Khan, Doug Marrone, David Caldwell, they know that this guy knows what it takes.
That's WJCT business analyst John Burr. I'm news director Jessica Palumbo.
We're going to end the episode on this note. Legislation filed at the state capitol would once again create a 10-day back-to-school sales tax holiday in Florida. Last year's tax-free shopping period lasted just 3 days as lawmakers dealt with dwindling budget dollars. Republican State Senator Keith Perry of Gainesville filed this year's proposal. Perry says the sales tax is always popular with Florida families and that returning it to 10 days is important.
You got a lot of people, you have both parents working, or maybe you only have a single member of the family. So to give them more time to get out there and buy the needed supplies they need to get back to school is critically important. So having it 10 days, that's the goal.
Perry's bill calls for back-to-back sales tax holidays from August 4th through August 13th on clothing, computers, and school supplies below a certain price. According to the Florida Retail Federation, a typical family spends around $670 each year on back-to-school shopping. And that's our show. You can find all of our audio and web stories at wjctnews.org. You can also stream this podcast as well as all of our on-air content on the WJCT app, which is available on iTunes and the Google Play Store. And of course, find us on your favorite podcast app and hit subscribe. I'm Vince Kong, and thank you for listening.